Welcome to another edition of Brews and Cruise. I am your host, Chris Jacobson, and I am here with Ashley Harrison,
Hello.
Who is my second female guest other than my wife on the podcast so far, and it is awesome that you were able to come here, so thanks for coming.
Absolutely. I feel honored. Second female guest. I love getting to be a part of such a great thing, especially with you, because we go way back.
We do. You were my seventh grade love. When we had to make mixtapes back in the day.
Oh my gosh, I remember that. That's so funny. It was mixed CDs, was it?
I burned a CD to a cassette tape for you.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. So you took the extra step.
I did. It lasted all of 2 weeks, I believe.
Yes.
And we never even talked to each other except for on the phone.
Yeah, I know. It was a big deal back then, though. But don't worry, me and Stephanie are newly found friends, actually. Yes. We've been trying to connect to hook up. I think I saw her, one of the times that we were talking about IPA and stuff. I think we'll get into it later,
but sure.
She was a grill master on the beach when we were on the river.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
She is.
Yes. Yes. So.
Well, before we get into that, you have actually told me that you would like some Surly sample pack. So I found a Surly sample pack and we have four different beers and I just happen to have little
flight
glasses for us.
Look,
you get the more fancy ones. I get the plastic ones.
Well, that makes sense.
First of all, you like Surly, correct?
I love Surly, yes.
Have you been there?
I recently went there like 3 weeks ago. You know when Matt Rife was in town? So he hosted a comedian show a couple weeks ago in early March. And so I went with a really close friend of mine. And he was hilarious. Highly recommend. 10 out of 10. So I went there. But before we got to see him, we actually went to the Surly Brewery. And they have, the atmosphere there is so, so cool. They were doing a really fun play on football because, football season just ended.
Yep.
And they had different IPAs there than are in the sample pack. So you can get these at our local stores here. And what they had there was a Taylor and
Travis Kelce.
Travis Kelce. Sorry, I'm blanking here. But they had different IPAs based off of those.
Really?
Taylor's was like a sweeter bite at the end, but Travis had like the nice bite at the end. And I like that one too. So I actually got to sample both of those, which you can't find here. But pretty much every IPA that I've gotten from Surly has been really, really good.
So I agree with you on that one.
I like the sample pack because you get a different kind of bite with each one of them. I do think that my favorite, you've already gone over with one of your guests that you had
Fitzy.
On here, Fitzy. Yep, the one man is my favorite, which is why I picked the sample pack. But I like all of these on here for different reasons.
They sure do have a different taste. Furious is probably the most popular of Surly's from what I can tell. But the one man mosh pit is my personal favorite. Yours as well, Fitzy's as well.
Yep,
too.
I think I told you this a little bit before. Yeah, I don't know if you guys can see it. It's a pretty cool shirt. Winona does this craft brew fest thing. What's it called? The brewing?
The Winona craft beer tour.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. So it was last year, actually. I went when One Man was a seasonal beer, I think is what you were saying.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, and so I went there, and I went with my neighbor, who has actually passed away now, and we walked up, and he was just telling them how much I loved it, and I was saying, yeah, I really do love it. He's like, the next dog she gets, she's probably going to name Surly, and long story short, I got a free shirt out of it because of that. So,
do you have the dog?
I don't have a dog yet. Okay. I can't handle a dog right now in my life, but someday maybe I will.
Sure, sure. Well, I absolutely love Surly too, but I find it funny that you said that the Taylor Swift one has a bite to it.
Sorry, it wasn't like a bite, but I did say that. It's more like a fruity like ending to it.
Oh.
So, but it was an IPA. The Travis Kelce one was the one with the bite.
So it was mixed up.
Yeah, so it was like a Taylor beer and then a Travis beer. So Taylor had the fruity aftertaste. Travis had the bite, and so I stuck with Travis because I liked the little bit of bite afterwards.
Well, I was going to say, sometimes if you break up with Taylor Swift, there's a bite at the end because she's going to make a song about you.
Yep, exactly.
Well, let's crack into these.
That sounds good.
And we can open up one of each. This is the fun part about this is we get to sample.
I know.
We got the Furious, which everyone probably knows what Furious is. And then I'll dive down and we got the Logic Bomb, which I think I've only sampled that, so I don't think I've ever really had that one.
Yeah, they have that one on tap at a couple of bar and restaurants downtown here and there, but not consistently. The one that I've actually consistently seen other than the Furious is going to be the Mosh Pit.
I know, it's everywhere now.
Controlled Chaos 2, is that one pretty new?
I want to say it's been around about as long as maybe Mosh Pit has.
Yeah.
But I do not see that one on tap very many places, if at all. So I got us some little sampler cups. So you pour. I'll grab one. You grab your cup.
All right.
We'll do Furious first.
They're going to foam a little bit.
That's all right.
That's a good pour.
Oh, hang in there. Hang in there. Yes. And the funny thing is if you're watching right now, these little sampler cups that I have are actually from the Winona Craft Beer Tour.
Oh, look at that.
Cheers.
So cheers to Furious.
To Furious. Now, and I know this one has a little bit of a kick to it. So if you are not into hoppy IPAs, this is definitely not the one for you, for sure. Oh, man, I gave it too much head.
There you go.
Ah, that's good stuff.
It is good stuff.
So you're watching March Madness, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So who got?
I don't know how you can tell. It's not because of my shirt or anything.
See, okay,
right?
And what about me? I got the North Carolina. This North Carolina jersey, if you're watching on YouTube right now, you probably don't even know who this guy is. Joseph Forte. This is from like 2001. So Joseph Forte was a
basketball player. I was going to ask, would I have seen you in this years ago, potentially?
You potentially would have seen me maybe in eighth grade with this on.
Yeah.
And I don't even know, but I had a Jordan one prior to that because that was when they were retroing things back then. And I had a Jordan one, but I don't know where that one's at anymore. It probably doesn't fit. So you got UConn on, and actually that's who I have picked winning my bracket. Who do you
all
got?
All the way?
I have UConn for the men. Okay. I don't do the women's one.
This is, I normally do both, but this is the only one I filled out.
Okay.
Okay, I have 13 teams left.
Yay.
Right now. Sorry,
not a perfect
brag.
Bracket, huh?
Not a perfect bracket, not at all. But I did pick UConn for personal reasons.
Personal reasons.
Yeah, they've been my favorite team for a while.
Oh, okay.
Maybe
you knew someone on the team.
Well, maybe. No, I'm just kidding. So I actually worked for a local company who would sell to different NFL teams and colleges and stuff. They were licensed here.
What company was that?
Wincraft at the time.
Wincraft. Yep. If you don't know Wincraft, go look on sports memorabilia, people. You will see a little tag that says Wincraft. It's from Winona. They're everywhere.
They are everywhere. They have lots of great products. I loved my time there. And I met lots of great people that I actually still have connections with today that are still my friends. And so it was a really great experience. I got to travel a lot because I had the Northeast Coast, which brings me to the UConn piece of this. So I was their sales rep. I worked with a college there.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and it was the year, I can't remember what year it's going to age me, but we'll be able to look it up and see. But it was the year that both the men and women's UConn college teams won the national championship.
Okay.
And back then, I mean, it was probably like 2014 or something.
Yeah, you know who I think, oh gosh, there was a guy that hit a shot at the end, and I believe that they were wearing navy that year, not white.
Right.
So I think I know exactly what you're talking about. It's like 2014, 15
yep,
area.
Yep, right around there. And so I got to be a part of the dual championship, if you will. Then the women's team, they were like a dynasty, right? So they won almost every single year. Mm-hmm. The men, I think, were seeded number 7. So it was like a blindside by most everyone that UConn would have even had a chance to make it there. But that's part of the March Madness beauty of basketball, right? So I remember back then, I would go, a group of friends of mine went to, I think it was Mulligan's, to watch the game when they played, when UConn guys played against Wisconsin.
Okay.
And I was in there watching the game, and everyone was in red for Wisconsin, and I had my UConn stuff.
They're probably like, what the heck are you doing?
They were probably
here?
Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's part of the reason why I love UConn is because I got to experience that. I went to their campus. Very nice people.
That's
school
awesome.
Was so nice. So I have a special place in my heart for them. This is an OG UConn bookstore shirt, so it's not like
I
ordered
it. Oh, you were actually there?
Yeah, it's not like I ordered it off of the internet. Like, I got to go there a couple of times and experience it. So I love it.
That's nice.
I got to actually see the husky, too, that they made their logo off of, which was really cool.
Is it stuffed or something?
No, it was a live dog.
Oh, there's a live dog. Cool.
Yeah, so if you ever look up their logo, they based it off of an actual dog.
Yep. So, okay, now who you have them going against in the finals there?
Tennessee. I know.
I have Houston, I believe.
That's what I was going to say. I've been told my bracket's going to bust coming up here because I should have picked Houston, but we'll see.
Do you have any big underdogs like going to the Final Four at all or not?
Not really. I was very lame. Like I said, I filled it out last second because I was working. I had a leadership thing that I was a part of.
Yeah.
And normally when I fill out my bracket, I really love to research the teams as best as I can. You know, you can go on like CBS and kind of see the matchups and whatever. I didn't do that this year. I kind of just went off of feeling, and so far it's going well. But the team that I have, Duke, but Duke always seems to do well. Yeah. I'm not a huge, like, I don't love that, but yeah, I was pretty vanilla this year.
That's okay.
I do have North Carolina going up against UConn, if that helps you.
I think I did too, and then I have UConn beating them.
Now,
so I don't have a UConn jersey. I would have wore a UConn jersey.
I should have brought you my sweatshirt.
I had a Georgetown Hoyas one, too. They're not even in the thing anymore.
No.
Is there anything? Are you playing with some friends for money or anything? Or?
No, not this year. Like I said, I filled out this only little tiny bracket.
Just for yourself?
For myself.
Oh, okay.
That's how much I love just doing it for me.
Right.
Normally, I would fill one out online and then get in with a couple of friends.
Sure.
But because I said, like, I literally filled this out Thursday morning before the tournament actually started, besides the play-in games. So I didn't really, like I said, I didn't really prioritize this. I prioritize my responsibilities, you know, being a mom, work, leadership class.
Adulthood got to you.
Ugh, it did.
Remember we used to do those back in St. Martin's days?
I was going to tell you, that's why I started loving this, to
I
be
know.
Honest.
That same thing. It brings me back. Whenever the March Madness comes around, I just think of like middle school days. I'm like, yeah, we used to fill them out by hand.
Yeah.
Now you can go online, it grades itself.
I know. I love it. So, yeah, that takes me back to St. Martin's old building before it got tore down.
Demolished.
Yeah. It did. That was kind of like a bittersweet thing, too, because it was like we grew up going to that school in 0 hour and all those types of things.
And no AC.
No AC.
Just cooking.
Yep, and then it would get incredibly cold, and the small little gym, I feel like I never really had an arc to my shot because of how low the ceilings
well,
were.
Well, that's one thing. Anybody around town, if they see someone shooting a flat basketball, they go, oh, he must have went to St. Martin's.
Yeah.
I think the ceiling was like maybe 22 feet tall at best, and the hoops are 10 feet. So,
we
all had a flat shot until you went out into the real gymnasiums and got real shots in.
Exactly.
So, yeah, now what I do with my students is actually we do the same thing, but online, because I'm not going to grade every one of them.
Oh, so you carried that on?
Heck yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
And they get to play for a Gatorade.
Oh, nice. So back in the day, it was Rocky.
Yeah,
what did we play for? Well, it feels so weird saying Rocky, for the record. I feel
I
know. That's even the teachers that I had, like other Miss Sellers, and it's so weird to me because you gain this level of respect for people and for your teachers, but now I work with him in some fashion, you know, as an adult, and I hear people calling him Rocky, and I'm like, oh, you should call him Mr. Sandcork, but just kidding, because we're, you know, adults now. But anyways, it was him that inspired us to play March Madness. In fact, my basketball love came from him.
Yeah.
I remember we had really great people that were volunteer coaches coming up, but when he came to St. Martin's, that was like what sparked me and my love for basketball.
Remember Mr. Brand?
Yeah.
He was fun too. I liked him.
Because what was it? What are the sheets? It's so old school where he would write... You know what? The overhead projector thing?
Oh, yeah, the overhead. Yeah,
and he would have different colors on there.
Yeah, what do they call them? Transparencies.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, they put different colors. You know, that's how I found out that I needed glasses because of that.
Oh, really?
I was sitting down a middle or back, and you'd have it up there, like you said, in different colors, and you'd have to write down the notes, and I'd be squinting. Eventually, like if I squinted at the right spot, I could see the words, and eventually, as I think it was sixth grade, I'm like, oh, Mom, I think I need glasses, which I didn't. I wasn't like, oh, darn. The only reason I didn't like it is because I was like, well, I feel like I'm blind playing basketball or any sport. And then once you get glasses, they say you have to have them on for a year, and then you get your contacts. So seventh grade year, pretty much played somewhat blind or at least blurred vision. And then in eighth grade, I could see everything clear as day.
There you go.
And now I have LASIK eye surgery, which is amazing.
I would love to get that for sure.
Do you have contacts too?
I do. They're in right now. I know you can't tell, but.
Nope. I can't unless you've got some funky color that you would be wearing.
Nope, it's original, my God-given eye color. But yeah, I think that was when I also noticed that I needed glasses was in his grade as well. I don't know if it was for the same reasons, but yeah. So to bring us back to the March Madness thing, I was in, I think we could do it when we were younger too, like fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth graders got to do the March Madness thing. We played for cases of Mountain Dew, if I can remember.
Yeah, that's right.
And then
maybe. I think that was Mr. Brand though.
Was that Mr. Brand?
I thought so. Because, well, you would have come in when Rocky was there. I was an eighth grader. You were in seventh. So I was on my way out the door. But I don't remember what we played. But I do remember Mountain Dew. And I feel like that was Mr. Brand, but I don't know. I could be wrong.
Maybe. Or bragging rights of some sort. I don't know. Or extra recess. We all loved it, but yeah.
Well, the funny thing is this is how I remember things happening. In eighth grade, we filled them out. And then in the afternoon, Rocky brought the old TV in, strolled it in, plugged it into the cable portion, turned it on, and we had the games going while we were doing school, which was amazing.
It was amazing. Yeah.
I loved it.
It was the same thing. I feel like that was one of the best experiences. And, you know, going to a small school has its advantages and disadvantages, but those were some of the advantages that we got to have the responsibility of, hey, you can do this as long as you're getting your work done, but if you don't, then you know it was taken away. But it was a really cool experience to do that.
Do you feel the same way, like when I was younger and we saw the TV coming, we're like, yes, we get to watch something, movie, whatever.
Yeah.
Well, now when I turn on some sort of documentary or something, the kids are like, oh, okay, because it's just like embedded in their brain. Like, this is what we do now. We have videos to our fingertips if we want them. Back when we were younger, like, oh, yes, we could not look at a book and we get to watch a movie.
I mean, we just talked about having like an overhead projector. So I feel like we can tell the difference, right? I mean, we had when we played Oregon Trail. I think it was in like third and fourth grade, and Mrs. Schlesselman.
You spell her name in third grade.
We did. we had the green screen computers and the floppy disks all that. Yeah,
it was so great. I remember the best part about Oregon Trail is you went on there and you went hunting for your food. And it didn't matter. You had a certain amount of time, but you could only carry like 50 pounds back.
Yeah.
And no matter if you shot 1,000 pounds, only 50 pounds is coming back.
Yep.
And then everyone died from malaria.
Yep. It was the mosquito bite. It got you too.
The mosquito bite got you. That was awesome. How's the Furious tasting? Good?
So just good. Like you always,
have you had all the other ones? I assume you
know,
have?
I will be honest that this is one of the most popular sample packs that I get. When my friends come over, I have a lot of them that like IPAs. So I get the sample pack to be safe so that I have a different IPA for everyone. Like you can see, this is more like a straight IPA. Like you mentioned, it's kind of hoppy. It has that little bit of a bite. They have hazy IPAs in here. The mosh pit, like you said.
Yep.
Juicy pale ale, though. Like, tell me a little bit more about that. I love beers and stuff, but.
Well, I don't know much about it. The only thing I can think of is going to have a little fruitier, but.
Yeah.
Hazy
IPAs. Probably
IPA
like your Taylor Swift.
Probably the Swift beer. They just said that. So it's popular that weekend.
Yeah.
You're like one of the only girls that I know that likes IPAs because there's not many people that enjoy an IPA, even men. They're like, oh, it tastes disgusting. And, I thought the same thing at first, but you're like one of the few women that I know that's like, hey, I like IPAs. It's awesome.
Yeah, I have
so do I.
A couple of girlfriends that also like the IPAs, but a lot of women, too, that I meet, they don't really enjoy them. They either have the mixed drinks or the wine, which I love wine, too. I feel like with beer and with wine and coffee, even, you just have to have an acquired taste for it. So, like, when I started drinking coffee when I was a teenager, I had to get like the fraps or like the sweet mixed drinks and all that because I didn't like black coffee. You just build up your taste to it. And so
that's
now I drink black coffee. Call me crazy. I don't know. But like
nothing in it. No sweeteners.
Yeah. Nothing in it. No sweeteners. Once in a while, I'll add a little bit if I'm feeling crazy, you know, but
if I'm feeling crazy. Yeah. I'll put a little
creamer in there.
Yeah. But also known as Bailey's.
Yeah, exactly. Well, especially on Christmas morning, you can't have coffee without Bailey's. Christmas, but no, it's the same thing with beer. Like I started drinking Bud Bud Light.
Bud Light. Yeah. Yeah, you worked your way up. Yeah,
you work your way up. So
that's exactly how it is.
I kind of started then. Stella was a really big hit when I was in college type thing.
Stella
and
was?
Yeah, I know.
Wow, what kind of friends were you hanging out with all this
you
money?
Know, it's the, I don't know. It was just somebody, I think Cindy actually was the one who really liked Stella.
Sure.
So
it's great.
It is.
It's just expensive for a college kid usually. Usually yeah. Like, oh, well, get my $1.50 Bud Lights and this
well,
is like five
I was,
bucks.
I was, you know, I lived at home when I was in college because I knew that there was a lot. I mean, it was almost double to live on campus versus, you know, just living at home, especially because I went to Winona State here, so I stayed local. So it just really didn't make sense for me to have to share a room with three people when I could have my own bedroom and my own shower. Like, experience-wise, yeah, it would have been cool, but I feel like I still got the most out of everything.
If you just did things on campus, you'd have been fine.
Yeah.
What'd you go to school for?
Well, I started with going for physical therapy.
Okay.
Then I realized that probably wasn't my thing. I loved sports. I loved, you know, being physically active and playing and stuff. So I thought going for sports physical therapy would be a thing. And I realized when I was a semester away from graduating that it really wasn't what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. So I quickly changed.
You're just about done.
Just about
quickly
done.
Quickly changed.
Well, I did get experience in the field, and I was like, you know, I couldn't see myself doing this day in and day out for the rest of my life. God bless physical therapists. I think they do a great job. It's not because I didn't respect the profession. It just didn't feel right for me. So, you know, I switched gears. Then I double majored in marketing and business administration. So my focus was in management and sales. So
how much longer did that tack on to your...
A year and a half.
Okay.
Not too long, because a lot of the gen eds were done already.
Sure.
And I took on heavy credit loads while working full time to get it done pretty quickly. So anyways, I took a sales elective class, and this was one of the brand new classes that Winona State was offering, because they had a couple of people that they sent to do the sales competition in Florida previous to me taking this class. And this class was like, you get to either be a sales competitor or you're a coach in it. And everybody that was in the class, they had to sign up to, I guess, apply to be the competitor. And I was like, no, I don't want to do, like, this is supposed to be an easy thing. I'm just coasting through. I don't want to be like a competitor. Can't someone else do this? Well, they're like, nope, you at least have to try. Okay.
Sure.
Well, when I try things, I don't just do it like half-heartedly.
Yeah, right. I know.
I try. So I got selected to be one of the competitors. So I competed in Florida for sales, and I loved it.
You went all the way down to Florida for
it? I competed for Winona State. Yep. And I think that was 2013. And so I felt like, you know.
What do you do more of now in your current job? We'll get to that. But what do you do currently more of, sales or marketing?
I feel like what I do in my job is kind of a mix of it, honestly, because you have to learn or use the skills that you learn in both of those in the position that I have right now. So I work as a mortgage operations specialist, and I supervise the closing staff as well.
Oh, okay.
So, but I also really focus on a lot of the project management side of things, and I help along with, you know, any types of integrations that we have with our system and different things like that. So
do you think you picked the right career then?
I do. It's crazy how it all turns out, right?
Well, like, see, I always, you know, people, if they've listened to this before, they know probably if I went back, it'd be like acting in film. It's probably what I would have went back for, but I didn't know I liked it until I went and did wrestling.
Yeah.
So
it
was one of those things. I'm just interested, like, if you actually love it, that's amazing that you did that. Because now with this, I'm learning a little bit of marketing skills of just trying to get the word out there, and I don't know what that all entails. It's kind of just learning it by YouTube.
Yeah, I was going to say that. One of my friends and I were talking not too long ago about if we were doing our own podcast, what would we do?
Well, so, now you're getting a little glimpse into what you could do.
I know, but I think it's so cool because I do know you from, you know, younger years and stuff. And I could say that you would be good on a podcast even back then. It's crazy how when people see you when you were younger, they say these things about you. They're like, wow, this makes sense. Or, you know what I mean? So it's really cool to see. Oh, a new one.
Of course, you can't have the same one.
But yeah, I don't know what kind of podcast I would do. And I was going to ask you, and you probably said it in one of your other podcasts that you've done. Like, what sparked you to, one, do a podcast? And then, two, like, this kind of podcast? Because I know you love different things, so I just thought I'd ask you.
That's a great question. So if anyone ever wants a little bit more detail, you go back and listen to the, I think it's episode 7, Me, Myself, and I. And it actually, I go over that as why I started it. And I started because, well, for one, I love talking to people. I could probably bring just about anyone in here, have an hour conversation, not a problem. Even last week, I told this buddy, I'm like, yeah, I'll take about hour, hour and a half. We're here for hour 45, and we just kind of cut it off. But I love talking to people. I love listening to podcasts. I will listen to podcasts more than I will listen to music in a car. Yeah. Music is like for working out, and then it's redundant because I'm listening to the same stuff over and over. But when it comes to podcasts, I love learning something or just hearing good stories. And that's where it comes into, I already have the garage here.
Which this is my first time being here. It's so cool for those of you who haven't been here.
This is not a green screen. If you think it's green screen, it's not.
No, it's real.
You can walk back there. It's real garage.
Yeah.
It does look somewhat fake. Someone asked me that one time. Like, is that a green screen? I go, no, it's not. It's actually real. Mm-hmm. On one of the episodes, I actually walked back and got a new glass. So people could see that if they watch it on YouTube.
Yeah.
But I already love cars. And not that I'm a mechanical expert, because I'm not. I mean, I could change my own oil, my own tire. Mm-hmm. I can charge the batteries up, put a new battery in, and that's about the extent of it. I just love being around them. And then beers. I actually started getting into beers when Island City came around, which is now called Two Fathoms.
Yeah.
And I was just like you. I started off light. I mean, I always tell people, if you're going to go to craft beer brewery, go here on the ones that have the ABV of like 10.
Yeah.
And then work your way up. And then you'll get to a Furious, because right. That one's really hoppy. And so I was like, well, I just love both of these things, and I love talking to people, because it was that first people always said to me, well, I don't know anything about beer or cars. I'm like, it doesn't matter. That's just literally the concept. This is just supposed to be fun. I mean, Joe Rogan's podcast, they just talk. That's all I wanted to do, was just talk to people, have fun. And then, I don't know. I love being in front of a camera, which there that is. just like talking to people, like I said. And so it's just like, I had been thinking about it for like a year prior, and then I was literally in the shower one day at the Y, after a workout, after the sauna, and I'm sitting there, I'm, you know, taking a shower. I'm like, why am I not doing this? Why am I just thinking about this? And I go, I thought to myself in my head, I go, I got 5 episodes off the top of my head with guests I could have. And that's before you contacted me, get a hold of me, which I want to get into that as well. And I was like, why am I not doing this? And I just did some YouTube research back in, I think it was October, bought these mics, bought the boom stands, got a new computer, which is kind of for real estate too, so you do the tax write-off thing.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, my other one was from 2012, so it was time.
I mean, it's all business.
It's all business. This is business too. And I don't know if it'll ever take off to more than that, but I told people, I'm like, man, you know what I love is that if I can't do a podcast that week with someone, I'm not happy. So I know that I'm actually loving what I'm doing now, being this is now going to be the 14th episode. I'm actually loving what I am. No, this will be the 15th episode, I think.
Hey, cheers to that.
Cheers to that. I don't know if it's a monumental time or not yet.
I don't know. 15 is a good number. My birthday's May 15th.
Oh, there you go. So there you go. I should wait to put this on May 15th.
Maybe.
No, just kidding.
Well, then March Madness will be done.
No, actually, this one will come out right about after March Madness ends.
Yeah, there
so
you go.
We got to make our predictions first, I think we already kind of have. Yeah. UConn.
Yeah.
So if you're listening, UConn, we both got those on our brackets.
Yep.
And I think there's only 3 perfect ones left.
Really?
Until today, because it's 6 o'clock. Half hour, the first game of the Sweet 16 starts.
I know.
So there's
UConn
probably
plays tonight. So
yeah, there's going to be probably 0 left after today.
Yeah.
But anyways, I started because I like being around people, and I literally talk people's ear off all the time when I go somewhere. And
no,
then
I don't believe it.
Shut up. Yes, you do. So anyways, I'm like, what better way to have a conversation than to have some beers? Or because you know, when I asked you, I said, well, what do you want to have? And then I always let my guests pick what you want.
Yeah, I'm the complicated one for you.
It was so complicated. Actually, no, this is our second flight. Episode number 3 or 4 with Hurley, we did a flight from Toppling Goliath.
Oh, cool.
And I'm assuming you've been there?
I actually don't know if you saw this hat, but I do have one from there. I recently went there too. Me and my neighbor were like, okay, you're trying the Logic Bomb. That's the first sip of it. What do you think?
First sip? This one's smooth. For an ale, this one is super smooth.
It's a juicy pale ale.
That's why it's so smooth, because it's got a juicy flavor into it.
So I feel like this would be another great one on the river.
Yeah. Well, this one's definitely great.
Oh, for sure.
This is only 5.5%.
Not
bad. It says juicy hop burst. I don't really taste much hop in it, but if you're into like McGolden, it's going to be a little
comparable for a craft beer.
Yeah. I'm saying if you're going to McGolden and you step up to this, it's going to grab a little bite to you. But if you go to like a Furious and come downwards, this is nothing. This is like having McGolden.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's been fantastic having this podcast, just doing this once a week. I got some things I need to figure out. Like if I can't have someone here, which I always want someone here for the YouTube, because when you look at this, it's great background. Doing like a virtual one, I'm not so sure I'm comfortable with that yet until I do more research on it. But everything's just kind of research. So I had 2 months worth of figuring things out, and then I finally recorded 4 episodes, and then it came out January 1st, and I wanted to have a little cushion room. So if I didn't have someone on for a week, I had some in the vault to go. So that's how I've been doing it. I've always had like one or two in the vault, and so that's why this one will come out like 2 weeks from now.
Perfect.
And so it's been fantastic. I was going to ask you. I said I'm going to come back to that. What was it?
Being on the show.
Being on the show.
When we were at River City. No?
Oh, yeah. So that was another thing that brings me to another point is, now I'm actually getting people reaching out to me, which is actually great. And you did, in a sense. You're like, we were just talking because I had to come in there. And
so Wing Wednesday is a thing for me.
right. I came in after volleyball.
Yeah, you came in after volleyball. River City is close to where I live. And they
and
have
me.
Yep.
Yeah. You live nearby.
We do. And I love going there on Wednesday because I'm a wing girl. I love spicy food. I love just going there. I've gone there so many Wednesdays, and I've just gone alone, sat at the bar, grabbed an IPA, and ordered my wings. Sometimes I bring a book. Sometimes I don't. It just depends on the mood. But yeah, we met one time after you were done with volleyball and you were grabbing some.
Yep, I was just grabbing dinner to go home.
Yeah.
And I was, you said something like, I've been listening.
I was like 3 IPAs in.
Well, maybe that's why you said, can I come on? And I'm like, I took you up on that. And I was like, yep, not a problem.
No, I think it's so cool that you're doing this. Like I said, not very many people have the courage to just put themselves out there in this way and to just kind of do something really cool and different. So.
Well, yeah. So you kind of reached out to me in a way. And when I went home and I told my wife, she's like, yeah, you need more of a female presence on this show. And I'm like, absolutely. I'm like, well, that's great. And I always tell everyone right now, I like to have people that I'm closer to. So that way, if I mess up, like, it's not like, oh my gosh, what's this bozo doing? You know, I don't know what the hell he's doing on here. And so I'm like, it's great to skin my teeth or, you know, whatever they call that with friends, because that way, if I make a mistake and they're like, oh, it's no big deal. We're just trying to figure this out.
Well, everyone's human, right? I mean, if you listen to the Joe Rogan podcast, I don't think he realized how big that was going to be and like what it was going to turn into. Like, he's on there for 2+ hours sometimes.
Yes.
He's talking about random stuff. And it's,
oh my gosh,
you can just sit there and listen to it at the, you know, no matter what time of the day. And I don't think if you, I don't know, the podcast that I listen to, I really enjoy because of how real it is. So I enjoy this side of it. And I don't know, I think it's cool that you're doing it. So.
Well, that's my whole thing is I wanted to be as raw as possible like Joe's because he's, if I remember right, I think he's the number one podcast in the world.
Yep.
So I'm not wrong about that.
Not since the last time I looked at podcasts.
Good. So we're on the same page with
that. Yeah.
I mean, I was just listening to his Cat Williams one, and Cat Williams is higher than a kite. And they are just talking about the most random things.
That's like the other ones I've watched too. Yeah.
You know what's funny? Now that I've gotten into it, I like I'm listening to the guests, and that's great and that's fun and all that. But I'm also listening to like, how are they approaching it? How are they keeping the conversation flowing? And then the other thing I was doing was researching microphones. So like, these ones are the top of the line, supposedly.
Ooh, thank you.
Yeah. So I'll make you sound beautiful. I'll make me sound beautiful. It'll sound great. And so I was like, I'm always like, kind of like, how are they doing this kind of stuff? And one of the things I notice when I watch myself or listen to myself back, I always say so a lot.
Yeah.
So, and then I go on with my sentence.
Oh, now I'm going to watch to see how many so's happen. We should do a game after.
Yeah. Just do a drinking game,
well,
shot
what do
for
I
shot.
Say a lot? Probably like, or I don't
That's
know.
That's what a lot of people say is like, because it's basically just throwing an
Or an I took some classes about communication so I should be good at
That's
that.
Good. We did that for wrestling. In wrestling school, we had to learn how to cut a promo, but you couldn't have, so like, I'm going to come out there, I'm going to beat you up, and you know, I'm going to get the win, and like, it's just going to be a beatdown. We couldn't say that. You had to have everything to a T with no ahs, likes, stuff like that.
Okay, so here's the thing. I know I'm the guest on here, but I have so many questions about that. And maybe this isn't the time or the place
for it.
It's
all the time and place.
But we had this time period of life, like we said. We went to St. Martin's together. Yep. We went our separate ways when you went to the senior high. I went there for 1 year, but we kind of didn't really connect.
I didn't even know you went there.
Yeah, see?
Didn't even know you went
there for a year. I went there my ninth grade year.
Really? See, I just think you're a Hope student the whole time.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, then I went to Hope Lutheran High School.
Sure.
And obviously, Josh and I, you had him on the podcast, yeah, too. We were in the same grade. Like, we have connections. I love his children. My daughter is his niece. And so we have a connection that way. And you were close friends with him, but we never really crossed paths again until you moved back to Winona and started doing the wrestling stuff. You were a teacher at St. Martin's. Tell me, like, what was it about wrestling and what kind of school is there involved in?
It's a very lackadaisical kind of school.
Okay, wait, I gotta get more.
Yeah, pour yourself a beer, I'll talk.
Love it. I can do podcast, that.
Right? So the school was in Atlanta, Georgia, and we shared a wall with a strip club.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's not like you're going to University of Wrestling.
You couldn't focus is what you're telling me.
No, I'm just kidding. Sometimes we had to go over and get ice from there if anyone got injured.
It's the ice.
And everyone was willing to go get ice.
I don't know why.
I don't know why either. So anyways, we would that's where it was, but it's very like seedy. It's a really... If you're getting into it, it's like, kind of some strange people. But anyways, other than that, we had also psychology, not a class or anything like that. Just the trainer was telling you, you have to use psychology. So it makes sense when you're out there performing because it is an art in its sense, quote unquote. But you're trying to tell a story. So what you're trying to do within the time limit you're given, whether it's 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes for a match, you're trying to make a story out of actions, basically. And then if you have to cut a promo, talk, we had to do it in front of a camera, and we had to do it in front of a live audience that would come in every Thursday. But it's not your formal training, like, okay, I'm going to class today with my wrestling books and we're gonna do that. It wasn't really that. However, people did bring notebooks. They took notes on things to do, moves that they wanted to work on, stuff like that. So it is a training in a sense. It's probably like theater training a little bit. I mean, you're not really sitting in a classroom probably during theater. I don't know.
Well, because this is the big question that a lot of people have when they're not like, you know, super big wrestling people and understand the art of it, right? It's rehearsed. You guys practice and you know the outcomes, right? Are you allowed to say it?
Oh, yeah, I'll talk all about it. I don't care. It's so out there. So with wrestling, it's staged, meaning it's scripted. The moves still hurt. Granted, the padding on the mat is thick and there's a little give to it, kind of like a trampoline, but not a trampoline. So you're still like, if you do it one day, every so often, you're going to feel it the next couple days. If you do it every weekend, couple matches a weekend, you're going to be fine. Mm-hmm. But I've had my face broken. If anybody ever watches, you'll see a scar
there. Oh, yeah, I see it.
On my head. I had my face broken, broke everything around here.
Wow.
Broke right around there, too, which is right around that temple area, which
was
is dangerous.
Was that an accident, then? It was like a rehearsal live thing that went wrong?
It was a live match against a really big guy who used to be in the NFL.
Oh.
Yeah, so he's like 340-pound guy.
Wow.
So the back of his head busted everything here. So things do go wrong in wrestling. It's staged.
Even though it's staged.
Yes. We just know the outcomes. It's like an actor in a movie. Mm-hmm. They know the outcome. They know the script. But you have to perform still. Mm-hmm. And granted, we are our own stuntmen, too, at the same time. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. But the fun part about it is the live audience being there. With the live audience being there, giving you a reaction, there's nothing more of a high than that. Because when they cheer for something, it's awesome. If they boo you for whatever you did, it's awesome. It's when they go quiet, not good.
Yeah.
Then you know you're doing a terrible job.
Yeah. No, I feel you on that. Actually, I had that experience not that long ago, not for wrestling. I think I'd get my butt kicked even if I rehearsed it or staged it in wrestling. But I went to Nashville with a group of friends last August. And I went to a bar with...
Girls are getting rowdy.
No, it's crazy.
Uh-oh.
And the band guy, like, he brought me up on stage.
Oh, this sounds so much fun. Just that right there, first quote. Yes. Brought me on stage.
Brought me on stage. And I have this saved song that is my go-to from when I was younger. My mom loved it, so I sang it. She said I sang it really well. So he's like, what song do you want to sing? I'm like, I'm in Nashville on the stage. I'm going to sing a song. So I sang Strawberry Wine.
Strawberry Wine.
Yep. That's way better than what I did.
I'm going to make it sound better. I'll put auto-tune on this later.
There you go. But I was so nervous. And it was like not my normal like blaring my music in the car singing.
Sure.
You know, this was live in Nashville.
So they brought you on stage.
They brought me on stage. Well, my friends were kind of encouraging it at the time.
Oh, gotcha. There you
go.
Yeah,
yeah. And so I went up there. I braved it. There weren't very many people there. There was probably like, I don't know. I can't even remember how many, because I felt the same way where I went up there in the first parts. I was so nervous. It's so different singing with a live band behind you rather than the karaoke machine.
Oh, that's true. Yes.
So I was so nervous until I got to like the second verse, and then I just sent it. I'm like, I don't care. I'm not going to see
any send on that, huh?
These people ever again, except for my friends. So yeah.
So there wasn't many people in the audience?
There were a few, but then it was like in the beginning where people were like, you know, kind of silent a little bit, and I was like, man, I got to step this up. So that's when I hit the full send, and then I got the reaction. So
yes.
I totally know what you
Here's
mean.
Here's the thing. You cannot be a great singer, but if you give a nice performance or putting your heart into it, people appreciate that, because I have a crappy voice for karaoke, but I will go out and I will sing my heart out.
I think I just saw a video or a Snapchat or something.
You probably did. On the cruise ship, I did a lot of it. Good. And then, with Katie last weekend.
Oh, yeah.
At Two Fathoms Brewing, yeah. I was singing.
I'm coming with you guys next time. I'll sing for you.
It's like every third or fourth Friday of the month.
Oh, yeah.
So it'll be like at this end of this month. Anyway, he'll be a star by that time after this. Yeah. All 100 people will be like, oh, my gosh, is that Ashley?
Yeah. Whatever.
Yes, it is. She's going to sing Strawberry Wine right now.
Strawberry Wine.
See, the thing is.
Stay tuned.
For me, if I'm in front of an audience, I want to be a large audience. To me, that's less awkward than having like 10 people there.
Yeah.
Some people would think the opposite. They'd be like, oh, there's not that many people here.
Honestly, I'm not afraid to get up in front of large groups either.
Nice. As long
as I'm an expert in whatever I'm talking about, and even if I'm not, like, again, that's the human aspect in you. If you don't know the answer to something, it's better to just say, ooh, you know, super great question. I don't know, because I'm not an all-knowing person.
True.
Let me do some research for you, and I will find out the answer. But I can, I've been working in mortgage for like the last 10 years. So if someone asks me a question about my specific profession, I could jump in and say, this is how it works, and this is why it works, and this is what we do with it. This is how this gets filled out, and give a demo, and it's like nothing. You know,
yeah.
So if I can get
so
up in
simple.
Front of people and just talk about those things, I'm totally comfortable with
it. Did you have to do a speech class in high school at all?
In high school and in college. And
same,
I just feel like, I don't know if you remember me from being younger too. I haven't really been ever afraid to just say, hey, this is who I am. And if you like it, cool.
Yeah.
If not,
that's how you have to be though.
Yeah.
Like you got to just remember, if you don't like me, that's fine. These other people might. And even if they don't, who cares? That's what leaders have to do, mm-hmm. though. That's one thing. I just read a quote a couple months ago. It's like, leaders are going to get criticized or hated more than anybody else. If you're too afraid of that, you will not be a leader. Mm-hmm. You got to be a follower.
Yeah, and I spent a lot of my life, you know, trying to live it for reasons, right or wrong. And I just came to the conclusion that I just need to be authentic to me and who I am. Because like you said, not everyone's going to love it. And that doesn't mean that I'm a bad person. It just means that maybe we're just not meant to mesh. But no matter what, I want to leave whatever situation that I can 1% better than what I found it. That's like my thing that I want to do. I want to help. I want to make
Perfect.
The world better. And I think that that's all we can do in situations. So.
Well, that's going to lead me to my next thing. But before we do that, drink up.
Okay.
Because we got a segment on here called The Brewski Shot.
Oh, man.
So for those who watch, they'll know what I'm talking about. So here, I'll grab your mic just in case so it doesn't go offline because...
That sounds good.
Me and my stupid microphones. Anyways, I got these beautiful shots here. You look at it. And it says something like Barstool Sports.
Oh, yeah.
Caught my eye because last week... We had some nasty Jose Cuervo shots. They were disgusting.
Okay, so Chris lets his people pick these.
Not you.
No.
You told me, get whatever.
I'm so difficult. Like I said, I wanted to do the one-man mosh pit for my beer, so I got it in my sample pack. And then he was like, pick a shot. And I was like, Chris, I'm not a shot girl. Like, I normally drink these IPA beers, and then I like a good red wine.
Yeah.
So shots aren't a thing for me, so I made him pick.
I don't even know what these. They just look pretty, and it said Barstool
pink,
Sports
pink
on
lemonade.
It. Yeah, pink lemonade.
My daughter loves lemonade, so... I think this is good.
Great. Don't give your kids this, folks.
I'm not for kids. Not for kids at all.
No. Yeah, it looks pretty, though. It says Spittin' Chiclets made with real vodka, Barstool Sports. So I don't really know much about it.
What a legend.
What a legend is right. So when we drink this.
This is going to look real sad for me.
Whoo.
That's a full cup.
That is a full cup. And when we tip it up, those of you at home, you're going to see Brewski on the bottom. Courtesy of Justin Edwards, who was on the podcast about a month and a half ago.
So we're supposed to, like, do this?
We will tip it up together.
Oh, Lord.
Have you ever done one of these?
I've never done one of these. I told you I'm not a shot girl.
So. Well, I have never done this until Justin brought this on the podcast. All right, here but we here go. Oh. I didn't even get all mine.
Lame. At least I got mine.
Oh.
I was taking the cup with me, though.
Oh, well, we got the brewski shot in there. On the bottom, it says Brewski.
That's cool.
Justin gave this to me as a gift. He gifted this.
That's really cool.
I know. He's like, hey, you've ever seen a certain movie? I can't remember which one he told me it was. I'm like, nah, I haven't, but I've seen Out Cold before, and they think they have a Brewski shot in there. But this is kind of neat. He gifted this to me, so it's been kind of a segment on every single one, depending on who's on. Me and Alex Garrett, we didn't do that because I don't think we wanted shots of bourbon at 9 in the morning.
Well, and you did old fashions too, right?
Yeah, we did old fashions. I mean, we could have taken a shot of bourbon, but it was 9 a.m. when he did that. Yeah, we're all out. We got to go on to our favorite one now.
What the heck? This is just going down too smoothly.
I know.
All right, it is my favorite. Like I said, I have this T-shirt. Oh, I told you the story of it. How cool is this shirt, though?
Dude, it looks like breast cancer awareness.
It does. It does. It's got Surly on the sleeves. I was going to say, I could gift it to you. You might have to, like, turn it into a crop top or something.
I would love to say that, but it's like a medium.
It is definitely a medium.
So it won't even fit me. I would love that shirt if it was an extra large. I would say, yep, I'll take that.
Yeah, I know. I thought about that. I'm like, gosh, I wish I could bring you a gift for just having me on, but, you know.
It's all good. It's all good.
Okay, so do you know that they have so many different variations of mosh pit?
I saw that.
This one isn't the only one.
Yeah, they have, like, other flavors.
Yeah,
there's, I don't know if I want to ruin my...
I was painting my room, and my mom and my stepdad were there, and I sent my stepdad to the bathroom fan in my bathroom was broken, and my stepdad is such a handyman, so he went out to get the materials that I needed to fix that.
What
and
a guy. What
he's
a guy.
Such a guy. He's so handy. He's an awesome man. And so while he was out, I'm like, okay, you also need to pick up some one-man mosh pit.
You have to. Here's the, have an option.
Here's the thing, though. He's colorblind.
Get the pink one. He goes and gets something
so
that looks black and white.
So he got the yellow one. I told him to get the pink one. He got the yellow and blue one. And it was fine.
That's so funny. He's colorblind. So he came back with a different pack.
And he's so shy that he wouldn't even ask, like...
Yes, I know.
He would not ask the person checking him out, the cashier, if this was pink or not. And so he's like, oh, this one looks pink to me. Well, he comes home and...
It's pink. It looks yellow.
It was yellow. It's not as good as the pink. It was fine. It was good. It just wasn't what I was expecting.
So it was a different flavor? Like it was,
yeah. So they, when you go to the brewery, they have all these different kinds of mosh pits too. So there's different levels. They have like the double.
I think Pseudo Sue started doing that too.
They did.
Yeah.
With the Pseudo Sue beer. So yes, like Toppling and Goliath. Yep. Yeah. So what I went there, which is where I got my hat from that I showed you earlier.
Yeah.
Me and my neighbor, we ordered lunch and stuff there, and it was a really great time. They had a band playing, and I had the waiter come up, and I'm like, this is your expertise here. You tell me. This is what I like to drink. I love IPAs. Tell me what you would order in a flight. And the guy server was like, I got you. So he picked the different flights for me. One of them ending with a triple pseudo-sue. Which...
Yes, a triple. I'll get you messed up.
Well, good thing I didn't have to drive. Let's just say that. Good, and yes. I will say the people of Decorah, great people, yeah. Wonderful. They have a great taxi service. Me...
Oh, did you stay overnight in Decorah?
Oh, yeah. We just randomly said, let's just make a little day trip out of this. And
That's a multi-day trip. Not many people say, I'm going down to Decorah to stay overnight.
No, I know, but we wanted to go. They have a couple of breweries there.
Did you go to Calmer, Iowa? It's called Pivo, P-I-V-O.
No, we
like
just...
10 miles south.
No, we just stayed in the Decorah. That's the farthest we went. So
Pulpit
we
Rock you probably went to then.
Yeah,
for sure.
We did. Yep.
Been there a couple times.
Yeah.
Is there another one in there? I feel no.
No, but they have a bar like Dixie's or something a bunch of the different kinds of breweries around the area that have drinks and stuff there. Cool. So we did go there. But it was a really great experience. It was one of those that's like, let's just do a whatever happens day. Yeah. And we ended up in Decorah and it was a great time. So yes, Decorah, Toppling and Goliath, great. They had great food, great beer, great IPAs. But yes, they're doing the IPAs double triples.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now you've been to Surly and Toppling, right?
Yeah, within the last month and a half.
Oh, so just recently.
Yeah, I'm adventurous.
So I've never been to Surly. Is it, someone said, it's a pretty big place. Is it as big as Toppling or is Toppling as big as them or is it about the same?
Toppling is smaller.
Is it? Okay. Because this is like the Minnesota beer. However, it's not the biggest brewery in it's Summit. Summit is. Yeah, I've never been there.
Where is Shells from?
Shells is from New Ulm. Ulm, Minnesota. I think they're second.
Okay.
Yes.
Because I really, go.
Okay. So I'm just going to leave now.
Bye. Let's go. We're going to go.
Shit, yes. It sounds like a motorcycle trip for me because that's what I love to do is go on a motorcycle.
Well, I would go on a motorcycle. I jumped out of a plane. So.
Did you?
I did, yeah.
Skydiving, huh?
Yep. Last year. In Vegas. It was just a thing, you know.
It's all safe there in Vegas?
Super safe.
Good. You know? It's not like some guy's like, I got a plane. Come check it out. Yeah. And also, let's jump out.
Yeah, no.
How was that experience?
Okay, so... I've always kind of been a thrill seeker.
Yeah.
But jumping out of a plane, being a mom, is not necessarily something that I would typically do. But I did. And I feel proud of it. It was super fun.
That's great. That's great.
I remember, so I signed up with it with a couple of friends. One of my friends backed out. And so the day that we went, we went early in the morning, and Vegas is in a beautiful state to do skydiving in, so I would recommend doing it over. I mean, it was fun. I'm not saying that because it's a really first good experience. But
you're hoping not to die in the first one.
I didn't think I was going to. That was the thing.
That's good.
You know? Yeah, yeah. I think you go into it thinking you're not going to die.
I'm not going to die. Right? I'm good.
But it was one of those things. Like I signed up for it. And I knew I wanted to do it. I thought it would be super cool to see the world 1,500 feet above me.
I think it's more than 1,500.
No, mine was only 1,500.
It really was.
Well, 15,000. I'm sorry.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah,
you
know, you're right.
Well, you're like open up shoot right away. Jump up.
It was. You're right.
Okay.
So
cool.
So yeah, no, it was a really good experience. The jumpers I did tandem because you can't do it.
Yeah, they won't let you do it the first time because you probably pass out possibly, and then you won't open your chute.
Some people do because that oxygen that you just like so many people do pass out in the beginning. So you have to do tandem at first. You have to be experienced. They're not going to let you jump out of a plane without having any sort of experience. So I did tandem. I had a guy hooked up to me. He was from Colorado. I don't remember what his name was. And I feel like with that experience, I should
well,
remember.
Well, you were just planning on not dying.
Yes, that's true. But he was great. So anyways, I just remember being like, me and my friend were standing there and they were like, who's jumping out first? And I'm like, immediately me. Because if I
saw my friend
jump out of the plane before me and see that he was no longer there, I would have been like, I'm not doing this.
He's no longer there?
You know what I mean?
Why would he not be there?
Because you get onto this little plane.
Yeah.
And it's not like a commercial plane that you have a seat.
Yeah.
You duck when you get in. And you're like squatting down.
Damn.
I know. It's a thing. So anyways, there's four of us and the pilot. So five. In this plane, in this little, tiny, little plane. And then I remember when we were up in the air, my guy was like, well, since you're going first, we need to check if this is a safe place that we can jump from.
That's and I'm good like, to hear.
Oh, okay. No. Thanks for preparing me for this before this happens. So we get there and he slides the plane door open of this small little plane. And we're poking our heads out of the plane.
Yeah.
And he's like, and my strap like gets down because I'm like, oh no, shit. I'm not doing this. Yeah. So anyways, he's like, nope, this isn't safe. We get back on the plane and he tightens everything up.
Yeah,
and
get back on the plane. Yep.
Okay. So then 2 minutes later, he's like, this is our target zone. This is where we need to be. And we turn and you literally get this little training before you get on the plane with all these people. And he's like, put your legs against the bottom of the plane when we turn and move out. And all I could think of is I said a swear word. I really did. I was like, oh, S-H-I-T.
Weird. Oh, you can say shit on here.
Oh, can I?
I always put explicit on in case something comes off.
Okay. Well, I'm a mom and I have to be careful.
Oh,
of the
S-H-I-T!
So I was like, what am I doing? What am I doing? And I'm like sitting there and you can see the world above you moving and you feel this breeze and you have all the masks and things on. And then as soon as you jump, it's like... Well, I wouldn't have. He had to push me off. I'm like, oh, my God, am I really doing this? And then it happened, and I had the best time.
Nice.
And I got it recorded. And if you ever listen, I don't know whoever would listen
to my
message.
Well, you never put it on Facebook, so I don't.
I'm kind of private with what I share, so this is kind of a lot. But I remember sharing a message with my daughter that she'll get to see someday about how exhilarating it was. All of my messages are to Ellie. I'm just, But anyways, it was fun. I would do it 100 million more times in different views. It was exhilarating. It was really fun.
How much does something like that cost to do?
So when we did it in Vegas, it was about, I think, $400 to $500.
Oh, wow.
So not too crazy.
That sounds crazy.
Well,
I mean, you're paying
$400 to $500
to be scared.
Well, you do have to sign something that you might die.
Well, of course.
But
how are you going to sue someone if you're dead, though?
Yeah,
if
that's
you go
true.
Splat to the ground, how do you sue someone?
Yeah, it's true.
Your family will. All right. Well, we got the next beer coming up here.
Yep.
And I want to, you've been talking about your daughter a lot lately. Let's talk about motherhood.
Motherhood.
Yeah, because I'm not a mom and I don't plan on ever being one. But these days and age, I could be a mom if I wanted to be.
That's crazy, isn't it? Oh, that sound.
See, that was a chaotic thing.
Have you had the chaos before?
I think only at the beer tour I have.
Okay.
I don't think I go and buy this one.
The beer tour that I got the shirt from.
The beer tour that I got these cups from.
Ooh.
Ooh.
We both got goodies.
And also on this one, you'll notice it says Steamboat Days on it. Which
oh,
is right around the same time.
Steamboat Days.
Yeah.
That's a thing.
Wait. Surly, sponsor me. Just saying.
Sponsor us.
Yeah, we are cheersing to our last can. I mean, I got a whole bunch more if necessary, but for the podcast, we got one more.
Yep.
So motherhood, this is, I haven't had a mother on.
I'm a mom.
How is that?
It's a thing.
It's a thing.
It's a thing.
Yeah. You like being a mom?
Oh my gosh, yes. Okay,
it's the best thing ever or what?
It is the best, most wonderful, most amazing journey that I've ever been on. The proudest title that I will ever have. She, my daughter, is the most amazing little girl ever. And I know every mom's going to say that about their kid, but I really mean it about my mom. And I know they really mean it about their kids too.
Yeah. Also, my parents are better than yours. I have the best parents in the world.
Well, I don't know. I'd fight you for that.
Okay.
I'm just kidding.
All say those same things, don't we?
You're a professional wrestler, so
oh,
I don't know.
Yeah.
No, she's...
It's all staged.
She's...
It's all fake.
Yeah.
Go on with Ellie, though.
He knows. He knows Ellie.
Yeah.
She's amazing. She is the perfect mix, I think, of her dad and myself. And I don't know, I've always felt like, you know, when you're younger and you know you feel like you are destined to be something?
Yep.
That's something that I felt like I was destined to be. So my journey to become a mom wasn't necessarily easy because I'm going to be a little bit feely in this right
That's
now
because okay.
you asked the question.
Because
I also,
people want to hear that. They want to hear the
I
realism.
Know. So I also have 3 babies that are in heaven.
Oh, really?
So, yep. So Ooh. Me, we have 3 children, Jordan, Alex, and Sawyer.
They all had names too.
We did name them.
Oh,
yeah. Because
even more feely.
I know.
If you're in tears yet, you're going to be soon.
So in 2016 is when I really started the journey of becoming a mom. Mm-hmm. And actually late 2015 in October is when me and my ex-spouse decided to start a family and all the things. And so in 2016, I was successfully able to conceive and had three babies that I didn't get to hold in my arms, but I got to hold in my stomach and in my body for the little bit of time that I was able to have them.
Sure.
And so we did give them names because they matter. And sure. They are a part of our family. Ellie knows about them. They make a big difference in our family. How it looks right now is different than a lot of families look, but they are celebrated on their special days that they're supposed to be celebrated on. And like I said, Ellie knows about them. And so she's the first child. I had given up all hope, actually, on becoming the mom that I felt like God was giving me that desire to becoming. And I gave it up. I actually booked a cruise with a couple of close friends and my spouse at the time.
Cruise,
yeah,
yes.
I know. I love cruises. I know you do, too.
Yes,
I do. And at that time, like, I was just like, you know, my journey in life is going to be, I'm going to be such a great aunt. I can be such a great aunt. And I love my nieces and nephews so much.
Yep.
And maybe that's my story. And so that's what I was thinking. Booked the first vacation that we had thought of for the longest time because we were so focused on having kids, you know, and the medical bills and stuff that came with that. We weren't doing trips and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So booked the cruise. And then shortly after we did that, I found out I was pregnant. I was like, oh, let's see. You know, so it was.
Yeah.
So I found out I was pregnant. Biggest blessing. If you look back on my posts on Facebook and Instagram, there's a post down there about, you know, when I did find out I was pregnant. I thought it wasn't going to be a real thing until it was. And I remember scheduling my induction, actually, because I was so nervous about everything at our 20-week appointment. Her cord was wrapped around her neck and all the things. It was so, every part of it was nerve-wracking for me.
You're like, here we go again.
I know, I'm like, I can protect you out here, but
yeah.
So anyways, so I scheduled her induction. And at that time, it was a real thing. I canceled the cruise, by the way, if anyone's wondering.
I kind of was. I was like,
she would have been like 3 weeks old at the time of the cruise.
Oh, so it was that far scheduled out. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep, so we literally, with a couple of close friends of ours who actually are her godparents, we all scheduled this cruise together, and we decided not to go once I found out I was pregnant because
sure.
I was due in January. The cruise was in February.
Oh, yeah.
So didn't end up going for obvious reasons. I'm like, I'm not going to miss out on this opportunity. And they were super understanding. They were our best friends. So, of course, they were going to be.
Yeah, and known three other times, right?
Exactly. Like, they were some of the first people that knew every time. So
great.
I had her in January of 2019, and being a parent is one of, like I said, the best times of my life. It's the best title I will ever hold. It is also really hard. It's super hard. So I told you yesterday, or actually this morning, I'm like, hey, I'm kind of recovering from a sickness that I got from my kid. There's that stuff that
There's
comes
that.
Along with it.
Yeah.
But
and we also had a schedule kind of around when you have her and not. Because you're like, well, I might have to find someone to watch her for a little bit of time.
Yeah.
I said, well, we'll kind of work off your schedule.
So
and I don't have that yet. So
yet.
I don't know that. Yeah.
But thank you for being understanding in that. But I mean, it's incredible to be a parent because you get to see this little person kind of starting from when they're a tiny little human and thinking like, I don't know what I'm doing. I've changed diapers and I've babysat before, but this kid is not leaving my house.
Yeah.
She's staying here.
In a bubble. She's not leaving.
Well, and actually the first 9 months of her life, she was born during cold and flu season, and then COVID happened,
you know?
So her life was a little bit different, and that was a little bit strenuous. But honestly, she is my why in everything that I do. When I talked about earlier that I want to be a fire for everyone, it's because she relit my fire in my life because I want to make the world a better place for her and for the friends and, you know, stuff that she has, because it's important that we are doing our best for the youth of this country and the youth of our community to show them as leaders, as different community members, to be better for everyone around you. And so when you have a child, there's just so many different things that come out in you in wanting to make the world a better place for the people that you love. And now she's five. She's spunky. Yeah. I don't know what you see of her because you're
I don't see her
building.
That often, but when she does, she says hi to me. I don't know if she knows that we know each other or that I know uncles and all that.
Yeah.
Because obviously Josh is her uncle. Mm-hmm. I don't know, or if she just sees me walking down the hallway ever so often. She's just like, oh, he works here. But yeah, I last night or two nights ago, I think you had it on Snapchat or something. You guys were about to read a book.
Oh, yeah.
And she was making some goofy voice.
The good egg.
The good egg. I don't know what that is. She was making some sort of note or some sort of voice.
She did. She was like, that's the good egg. Yeah. She did. So she knows that that's one of my favorite books to read. It just reads really well. I don't know. It's simple. It's about this little tiny egg that feels like he needs to be perfect. That he needs to teach all of his other little eggs to be perfect. And it's he goes off on this journey and he's like, you know what? All you eggs that are not being perfect, I'm going to go and do my own self-reflection in this journey because you're not living the life that I want to live. And he comes back and he's like, he does all these things. He journals and he goes to the spa and whatever. Like he does this stuff.
Egg goes to the spa. Yeah. I love it.
He does all these self-reflections and comes to find out like, you know what? My story doesn't have to be the same as the egg next to me story. Like,
that's so true in life.
Yes.
This is a life book.
I know. I feel like I should have brought it with to read to everyone. But anyways.
This could have been an audio book right now. Audio book.
I have a good reading voice. No, I'm just kidding. But anyways.
No, you're not Morgan Freeman, are you?
No. Let's talk about that voice.
If you want a credit card, this one's perfect.
Mm-hmm. No, but she's so fun. She loves to... She's just learning now. So I did her and her dad and I signed her up for Happy Hoops at the YMCA.
Good. Yeah. Finally, some kids getting into sports.
I know. I did. I didn't do Happy Hitters. I should have. But she did Happy Feet too, which is the soccer one.
That's good.
We've tried to, like, we signed her up for swimming classes when she was younger. We, also did dance class and gymnastics class. We just feel like it's important to get her involved in all these different things to find her own passion and things.
Absolutely.
Cause I don't know what it's going to be. She's my kid. She's his kid. We don't know what she's going
to love to do.
Well, just
remember, you're not even going to know when you get to college. You're not even going to know that.
I know, because I changed my own, my own path. So, and it's okay. It's okay to change no matter what age you're at. You can still find your true North Star and everything that you're doing. But, it's funny because she took that Happy Hoops class. And then a couple weekends ago, we went up to the cities and we watched her cousin at the time in state basketball. And she got to see how the little drills that she did in Happy Hoops, because they don't play the games. They
do the
dribbling, the passing, the shooting drills and stuff, and like the shuffling for defense. So when she saw her cousin's team putting all this stuff together, she was like, oh, that's why I do it. She hated Happy Hoops. And I'm like, you need to love it. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
No, but for real, her dad and I loved basketball. That was both of our favorite sports.
Oh, I know. We all love basketball.
We loved basketball.
That's why I'm sitting in a jersey and you're filling out March Madness brackets and everything.
I know. So it was one of those things where it's like, come on, girl. And then I'm like, I'm not trying to push myself on you because you need to be you.
Right.
But when she saw that all put together, she was practicing in the driveway when I was grilling burgers the other day. And she was
such a good thing to hear.
I know. She was. She was just like, Mom, I don't want to color chalk. I need to grab the basketball. I'm like, yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
But it was the connection that she made. Yep. She wouldn't have done that if I didn't take it
to the next level. That's
the
thing. When you see the overall picture, you're like, oh, that's why I'm doing it. Oh, that's why I did that. Okay, I get it. Now it all makes sense. Because like you said, they're not playing games at 5 years old or so. They're just learning how to even figure out what a ball is, for that matter.
Exactly.
They're dribbling it and slapping it.
It's funny because she was dribbling the other day and she goes, Mom, I hurt my finger. And I was like, what happened? She's like, I was dribbling. I'm like, oh, you just jammed your finger. Like, that's what happened.
I always tell kids, I go, now I step down from basketball coaching, but every year I go, you're going to get jammed fingers. It's part of the game. If it hurts, it'll be fine.
Yep.
It just stinks.
It's That's normal. All. Yeah.
So what's like the hardest part about being a mom or a parent? What's the hardest part?
I can say from my experience only. I think right now.
Oh, yeah, that's what we want. Your experience. Yeah. We don't want someone else's.
So mine's kind of unique, though, because I have a shared experience, right?
Sure.
So I think the hardest part is not having her every day.
Sure.
You know, because she goes through all these ups and downs and everything, and I have really good communication with her dad and all the stuff, and we're co-parenting really well.
That's good to hear, because that doesn't always happen.
Yeah, no, and I think I respect him. He's a wonderful person. And I just think it's just kind of a unique thing that you have in life. But the hardest thing about parenting, I don't know. I feel like it's, you live your life for so long until you become a parent, and then you have this little thing that's sitting here that you're like, oh, now I need, like, I'm building this kid's childhood. So when you think about your childhood and you think about all of your memories that you had, your parents were involved in creating those memories and creating your childhood. So every time I'm doing something with her, I'm thinking, what am I doing to help create a childhood that is going to be memorable, long lasting, and impactful in a positive way for her? And how can I be a shining example in giving her the experiences that she needs to, kind of build the person that she is? And when she looks back at her childhood, she thinks mom tried her best and her hardest and was a rock star. And I have to learn about giving myself grace and all of that, because there are some nights where I come home and, you know, it's like a wild goose chase from the moment you wake up. If you wake up, you get your workout in, you do your journaling, and then you take your shower, you're waking your kid up, and my daughter is not a morning person. She's not at all.
Me either, Ellie.
I know, Ellie. I'm not either. I think you get it from me. But so she's just like, one more minute, mom, please. Can I have one more minute? And I'm like, girl, we got to go. Time does not stop for anyone.
No, it does not.
It does not. So, you know, so it's like you run with your head cut off, like you're, you know, a chicken running everywhere.
Yep.
And then you get to work, and you're in all the meetings and all the stuff, and then you get done with work, and you're like, shoot, I forgot to take the hamburger out for the tacos we were going to have tonight. And
McDonald's it is.
I know. Well, sometimes, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
No, but
trying your way home anyway.
Yeah,
so
it's not that far away. But honestly, it's just giving yourself grace in the moments that you know you're never going to be perfect for. And then you think about what you're doing every single day, because you're an example to your kid.
Sure.
So if you are running around anxious and doing all this stuff, and she's going to see that. And eventually that's going to be something that she feels like she has to have expectations for her own self with. So it's a lot of giving yourself grace, and that's hard to do sometimes. You don't have to be perfect. You just have to be you. And you have to know that God gave you to your children for a reason, because you are the perfect dad or mom that that kid needed. And you just need to give yourself grace in knowing that you have never been a parent before, and you're learning at the same time your kid is learning. So I had this conversation with Ellie the other day, and she's like, mom, it's so tough to be a 5-year-old. And I'm like, oh my gosh, girlfriend. And you know what? You have to get down at her level, because there are some things emotionally that I learned as a 34-year-old adult that I'm like, this girl is not going to learn these lessons that late in life. She's going to learn her emotional intelligence early. And I just tell her, yeah, you know what, Ellie? It is tough being a 5-year-old. You have never, ever been a 5-year-old before, have you? And she's like, no, I have never. And I said, it's so tough learning how, when friends take toys away from us, we don't know how to respond to that, because that's what we wanted, right?
Yeah.
Think about in our adult life, if someone took something that we wanted from us, how we would feel. So I'm like trying to respond to her in that same way.
That's a good idea. You know, people probably don't think about that. Like, it might not be a physical toy. It might be an opportunity or something.
Right,
like that.
Right.
Yeah. So that's a great way to look at it.
Well, I'm not perfect. Disclaimer, I don't know what I'm doing
you
as a mom.
Aren't.
No. But right. Then I tell her, I'm like, you know what, honey? You've never been a 5-year-old or a 5-year-old in 12 days, you know, whatever she is. So you're still learning, and you're not going to be perfect, but you don't have to be perfect. We just have to be better than what we were yesterday, which is kind of what I said earlier. And I said, honey, I've never been a mama to a 5-year-old. You know that? And I'm not perfect, and you know I'm not perfect, and I'm learning too. And we're a team, and we're going to get through this together. We're going to be a team together, and all we can do is our best. And no, I love you, and I love you so much, and I know you love me so much, and we will figure out whatever comes ahead of us, because we're a team. All of us together. Mommy, daddy, your teachers, we all want the best for you.
Sure.
So,
wow, that is a fantastic outlook on parenting.
Thank you. I would do it 100 times too. So if you want to be a parent, cheers to that.
I'll work on it.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that's a great ending right there for us. That is good words of advice from a mother who is raising a 5-year-old. Is there anything else you want to add to this? We're already at an hour and 25.
Are we really?
Yes, we are.
I feel like we could keep going.
I know we could. I have people that want to do part twos with me already.
Well, I'll do a part two with you because I will say that as a part of a class that I did, I brought this with me. It was the ending of my capstone project that I did.
Okay.
So it
what
was,
is it?
Well, I did this whole thing. And it talks about kind of what I've already alluded to in the podcast. And it talks about, like, everyone has a choice in whatever situation that they're brought to. So whether it's good or bad, you get to choose choice A or B. And yeah. I showed this whole presentation, and I saw someone give some, like, a short little reel on this another time. But it was two different situations and two different people going through these journeys, and you know, they each had their hardships in each one of their bins, if you will, and there are two lighters, and people can choose to put their light out and focus on the darkness and things, or you can choose to still be a light. You can look at your problems and you can say, these problems are not going to define me. They are going to be something that shapes me, right? Because you learn through experiences that you have. But they're not going to be something that puts my fire out. They're going to be something that brightens my fire to think about, this happened to me, but I'm going to continue to be bigger in those situations. So
nice.
My presentation ended with,
let's hear it. This is going to be such a great way to end this.
Where do we go from here? What's next? And it's a choice to make steps, whether they're big or small, every single day. You need to choose to be better than the person you were yesterday and to continue to let your fire lead the way.
Hear, hear.
Hear, hear.
Cheers. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you for
it.
Having me. I appreciate that as well.
For those who are tuning in, you can find me on YouTube if you're watching, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts. Please go subscribe, like, follow, whatever it is. It really helps out the podcast a lot. And this is we're going on month 4. 3 have been completed. Thank you again, Ashley, for coming on.
Absolutely.
And one more time,
thanks
cheers.
For having me.
You're
Episode
welcome.
15.
Episode 15.
There we
May
go.
15th is her birthday. Wish her a happy birthday.
Thank you.
But otherwise, cheers.
Cheers. Go UConn.